Yes, like that weird week between Christmas and New Year's. We're in that weird week between my birthday and July 4th. What's going on? This is Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT and NXT UK content across the ring and across the pond. My name is Lobo Boys, but of course, as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the international maven who has done work for Chance at Wrestle Hollywood, Influencer Fight League, and more. You can check him out on his Twitch channel at twitch.tv/RealJackFarmer. It's Real Jack Farmer. What's up, man?
Hey, Flobo. Always good to be here. I'm glad you mentioned it right at the top here. The entire world is just stuck in this dead week between your birthday and the 4th of July, especially all of our NXT UK viewers, I'm sure, all just kind of in that lull between the 4th of July, Independence Day, and your birthday.
Yeah, they take 2 weeks off. They call in sick. It's great. It's a whole big thing, a whole big to-do.
Very, very big internationally, but either way, I'm glad to be on the show. I'm glad to chat with you. I feel like it's been 2 weeks since I've talked to you on Draped in Gold.
It's true. Peacock was faced this week, but as we roll into July, I got to ask you one question. I mean, I'm not going to put details, I'm not going to put down dates, but July is Jack Farmer's birth month. Do you have celebrations lined up as well? Are you a day of guy? What's your deal?
I have nothing lined up. I love when I have nothing on the calendar. It's one of my favorite things, so I leave it completely blank. I'm an old man now, Flobo. I'm going to be even older later this month. But, I like not having anything planned. I'm not going to do anything, probably. I may go out and, like, usually I overeat on my birthday.
Oh, yeah, me too. But even though July is priority one, the birthday of Jack Farmer, it's also going to be home to the 100th episode of Draped in Gold. July 28th, you're all invited to come through as you do absolutely nothing different than any other week.
Right. assuming Peacock is up on time.
Right, it's bad luck.
How great would it be if our 100th episode is just your audio-only version?
Yeah, just... Hey, what's up, guys? Awkward. All right, let's get into it. NXT UK, the whole world is shifting as a paradigm shift. There's UK talent. There is NXT 2.0 talent. But the top story today is that Dastardly Trent Seven in that main event saying he didn't need that Tyler kicking people in the twigs and berries. Jack Farmer, what do you make of this guy? The Silver Fox, the oldest man in the roster, going to be 41 years old in August, is caught a rough shot on the NXT UK roster.
Stylish as hell and main eventing NXT UK. Now that he's got Tyler Bate in the rear view and he's revitalized his career at the age of 41 years old, it was great getting to see Trent relive the moment that saved that legendary career, saved NXT UK, and saved British sports as a whole. I'm glad that Trent Seven has taken the limiter off. I'm glad that he's finally able to go at full speed. I'm glad he's not lowering himself to the lowest common denominator, and I'm glad that he's raising up to the peaks of Mustache Mountain and really raising all ships with his tide. It's a great day. It's a great moment. Trent Seven, you did it again, you silver-haired fox.
Give a shout out to us watching this live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn, of all things. Lamb, who's in the chat, says this. Seven did the right thing. Fans shouldn't get over the barricade. Should have kicked them harder. What? You put it that way. I have to agree. But he looked so mean when Trent did it, Lamb. What?
Yeah, he should have kicked him twice. One for the right, one for the left, if you know what I'm saying.
I do, unfortunately. Jack, is that how it's going to be when we go to NXT UK? I can't dissent. I can't be like, hey, I think you're a bad person without having to wear a cup here in England.
If you lean over the guardrail, I'm going to push you over just so you go over and Trent Seven can hit you. Hit you right between the goalposts.
The look of shock returned to realization, you know? Like, oh, it's Jack. I knew it.
You're like, wait, this was an accident. I tripped. Oh.
All right, so yeah, I turned British on the way out. Mustache Mountain seems to be, or definitely is, no more. Trent Seven has a bullseye on his back because he's also a big old meanie. What is next, though, for Trent Seven. I mean, you can't say titles because the tag team titles was the goal until that was ruined. So what would you do if you're the Silver Hair Fox?
Mustache Mountain isn't gone. Mustache Mountain's still there. Trent Seven is Mustache Mountain. He always was Mustache Mountain. We were just being polite when we said Mustache Mountain and Tyler Bate is all it really is.
We were being polite. You're never polite.
I was very kind to Tyler Bate when I acknowledged him as part of Mustache Mountain, but now Mustache Mountain stands alone above the plains of the mediocrity of the rest of NXT UK. And you say you can't say championships, but who main evented twice in a row now? It's Trent Seven. He is someone who the entire British sports world is looking to right now. We talk about getting the casual viewer to watch on. Everyone who's interested in sports right now is interested in Trent Seven. You got to tune in to see him. You got to put him in the main event with the title on the line. NXT UK champion Trent Seven. Just get used to saying it because that's what it's going to be, Flobo.
The whole British sporting world. It's like the Premier League transfer window and Trent Seven. What's he doing? Right? Kicking people in the nuts and toucan berries.
Well, other way around. I think it's Trent Seven.
Right, right.
Premier League. And then number two is blank for emphasis, and then number three is Premier League.
I hate rankings. I can't wait to see what happens there, because you know Tyler Bate is going to get his revenge on some level or another when he heals or gets out of putting the boys on ice. But this was a big week for our ladies' division, women's division here in NXT UK, which I would say is one of the strongest ones on televised wrestling. I mean, you can maybe argue Impact or 2.0, but I'm a UK individual. Up first contest of the evening was Angel Hayes, the fan favorite there, the BT Sport Arena, against the returning Blair Davenport. You know, you could have all the support in the world, Jack Farmer, but what matters is dubs. Blair is back.
You said it. I mean, everyone loves Angel Hayes, one of the biggest rising stars, I think, as far as popularity goes, as far as fan favorite goes. And I walked away from this match actually kind of giving a tip of the cap to Angel Hayes. She brought it to Blair Davenport, went 10 minutes, I believe, with her in this matchup, one of the longer matches of the show today. And I think that surprised a lot of people. Blair Davenport is a killer in that ring. I expect it to be quick. I expected Blair Davenport to make short work of Angel Hayes. I don't know if it's because this was Blair Davenport coming back from an injury. I don't know if it's because she maybe the ring rust, maybe still getting the ground beneath her feet here. But of course, at the end of the day, Blair Davenport, born for this stuff. She was born to be a champion. And dare I say, the final boss may be looking at her final challenger when all is said and done. Speaking on the mic in the ring after her matchup, that doesn't happen often on NXT UK, and I think is a clear indicator that Blair Davenport wants the spotlight, wants the power, wants the attention, and dare I say, soon enough, wants the title.
Well, I am agreed with you. He says Davenport is back and has her eyes set back on the title for sure, as of what happened last time. But that's the thing. Back from injury against Angel Hayes, there are some people out there, some phantom GMs, some fans of the show that would say, maybe you have to go at the back of the line. You don't get to go back at the top and take it 5 months off.
Blair, she's a Davenport. She wouldn't know what the back of the line looks like. How would she find it?
I put it that way. I guess you're right. But she has to fight other people before she goes to Mako again, right?
Look, if Blair Davenport went to the back of the line, all everyone would do is turn around and make her the front of the line anyways, because I think everyone knows that she's the person who should be getting the next shot.
Let's talk about people with next shots. There's no level up for NXT UK, but fan favorites like Josh Morrell, my boy, Danny Williams, Angel Hayes always seem to be knocking about the roster, but not making that much of an impact. Let me ask you this. Phantom GM Jack Farmer, what do you do with this crop of talent? It just doesn't seem to get any wins strung together.
I think it can be tough because you always want one of the bigger stars in every matchup. I think when you're trying to put together a show, you want to keep everyone's attention. So maybe having two people who are struggling to win in the ring at the same time might not seem like a great idea on paper. But I think if you just had them start having matches with each other, let them start to get momentum. You know, I am a big believer in momentum. I'm a big believer in letting people get some wins underneath their feet. And I think that if they were to do that, I think if they were to maybe put some of these people in matches against each other, you could get some of that momentum going and you could get some of these people on the right track.
Let's talk momentum, by the way. That North American, that Heritage Cup division has in 2 weeks' time is official. Mark Coffey will take on Noam Dar. But tonight we saw Wolfie, against Shaw Samuels. And Shaw Samuels was pretty smart going after that long-term booking shoulder injury of Wolfgang, but to no avail. Talk about momentum. What's going down with the camp of the Eastside Bookie and the Scottish Supernova Nova after taking the loss this week?
100-1 odds, Flobo. Did you hear that? 100-1 odds. I'm on DraftKings. I can't get those kind of odds. I'm on every other booking site. I can't get these odds. I don't know how I get to Shaw Samuels. I got to put down the entire farm on Noam Dar. It's easy money. Now it's only one. You know, yeah. I only get the one out of the out of the 100 because I'm betting on the favorite. But the, I mean, I'm surprised they're allowing us to book on this thing. I mean, Noam Dar is the greatest Heritage Cup champion in the history of Heritage Cup championships. So
no one books for Noam.
It's a Grand Slam home run super dunk on British Sports Heritage Championships. I want to bet on him right now.
I got two questions.
Yeah, DraftKings.
Two questions.
Where is the bet here? Where are these odds?
One, the odds together. The odds are made up, so they're not really valid. But no, my two questions. One, do you really think there's an opportunity for Noam Dar to walk away with a win after someone as imposing as Mark Coffey? And two, what kind of farm does Jack Farmer have?
So let's talk about the important stuff here. I mean, does he have a chance?
Yeah.
Everyone wondered, does he have a chance when he faced Wolfgang? Everyone wondered, does he have a chance when he faced Joe Coffey? Here's Mark Coffey now coming in at the tail end of this thing, trying to get one last shot before the Heritage Cup is retired forever. We always say, does Noam Dar have a chance? Does Noam Dar have a chance? Starting to feel really silly down Noam Dar week in and week out. Like people saying, is LeBron James really that good? Yes, he's that good. Just like Noam Dar is really that good. Of course he's going to win this thing. That's why the odds are the way they are. If it was a fair matchup, it'd be 1-1 odds. It'd be 50-50. But it's 100-1 because Noam Dar is such a favorite because he's so good. That's how odds work, Flobo.
Thank you. But that said, momentum is still in the air because Shaw Samuels tried as he might did not get the win this week. Now, you said it yourself before. Mark Coffey is angling, if not the de facto leader of Dallas. If Wolfgang gets the win this week, you have to admit that camp has all the momentum 2 weeks from now.
That camp doesn't exist. That camp's gone. Joe Coffey, nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be found. I don't know what he's doing. Wolfgang, he looked mighty lonely in that ring today. Mark Coffey, by the way, not training with those guys, training with different people. He was by himself too. But Wolfgang, in this match, looking mighty lonely, looking mighty, mighty sad and alone. And the wolf without his pack in the middle of the ring, no one there, by himself, playing solitaire, no one with him. Shaw Samuels there. You know, he had a good matchup. I mean, Wolfgang's a tough dude. Don't get me wrong. He's going to win some matches. But he's all by himself. Lonely Wolfgang.
How do you prove you're a lone wolf? You play solitaire. What?
The wolf. That wolf, he's like that. You can imagine the visual of the hill with the moon behind it and the single wolf just howling in the night. That's Wolfgang all by himself, howling sadly because there's no Gallus, all by himself. Get a big win, though. You know, got to get a win. I cannot do that.
Australian correspondent Dylan Matthews says, do the 100th episode from the Jack Farmer farm. We don't know what kind of farm it is. I asked him. He avoided that question. He skirted the question. He's like, let's talk about the actual match here on this wrestling show. Damn it. I have no idea.
Listen, I'm a sharecropper.
What? What is your sharecropping? That's
kind of Mac and I talk about it publicly all the time. I'm a sharecropper.
What's the crop?
You want to know what kind of farm I have? It's the shared crop.
I hate this. Parts unknown indeed. So elsewhere, we had Amelia McKenzie versus Valerie Henley in that women's division. I know, I'm not sure we said it on the air 2 weeks ago or offline, but you had asked me about the influx of NXT 2.0 talent. It just seems these Americans are coming over the pond, running roughshod and picking up dubs. Let me ask you this, Jack Farmer. It must stick in your craw if you are UK talent, having all this 2.0 wave over you and taking wins from matches.
Well, like you said, the Holy Day of America, July 4th, is right around the corner, and you can feel that just the American pride and freedom sweeping across the globe like a giant red, white, and blue flag, and that's what's happening in NXT UK now. Fallon Henley showing up, guns a-blazing for America, and she takes on Amelia McKenzie. Now, McKenzie, I'm thinking as I'm watching this, you haven't shown any improvement hanging out with Mako Satomura. What are you doing, McKenzie? Get away from Mako.
She got mean.
Slap Mako in the face. Take that title. Do what an American would do and take all her stuff for yourself.
Hey, whoa. I mean, you're right. You're facts. But come on. Her personality changed, right? A little bit.
Not that enough. Matters. That's why Fallon Henley jet-lagged and all came on over to NXT UK and was able to beat her up. That's if you've been hanging out with Mako Satomura that long, right, and hadn't been able to get a win, you should be wondering something. You should be asking yourself, why is the person who should be teaching me how to be the best wrestler on the planet not getting me there? I think it's because Mako Satomura is one of those people that likes to keep her friends close and her enemies closer. I think Mako knows that if she really trained McKenzie, that McKenzie would be a threat. And so I think Mako has been putting little landmines in the training process of McKenzie so that McKenzie never reaches her potential. McKenzie needs to realize this. Get away from Mako and take that title and show some ruthlessness, some ruthless aggression, as we say in the WWE.
20 years ago. She doesn't know what that is. No, I'm just kidding.
Put on some Usher and bring some ruthless aggression.
You remind me of a girl. All right.
Yeah. Well,
so, okay. I get that. You're totally right. There is no dubs in that camp. To say the least, but we're looking, and I did the research here last week. I think we mentioned it offline that besides the Mako Satomura, yeah, I know, right? It's a thing I do between episodes. I actually watch more wrestling, but besides the Mako Satomura IPNL match, every UK talent in a match against US talent has lost. Does that matter though? Do we think of UK as weaker because of it, or is just kind of like, hey, look, new challenger, really haven't done the scouting reports. What's going on?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's I think with NXT UK, they're some of the hardest hitting, toughest wrestlers there are. I think that NXT 2.0 right now is a lot of people that are really looking to prove themselves. And this is a good chance for them to prove themselves. And I think that with things being as competitive as they are over in 2.0, sometimes the wrestlers that come over from America, I think they know that they need to show out or else. I also think that there's been, in this case, like Fallon Henley, I think Fallon Henley knew she had an opportunity with McKenzie. I think she knew she had an opportunity because she knows that Mako Satomura has been planting landmines.
Well, my next question was actually asked by Lamb here. He says, well, McKenzie was very frustrated when Mako challenged Zaire Brookside and Eliza Alexander to a tag team match. Saray, not her. So even though after the match, even after the getting the loss here, Amelia McKenzie was in the background when Mako and Saray in that secondary spot challenged Zaire and Eliza to a matchup. Or is it going to be a little bit trouble in paradise there, Jack?
You know, this is where a lot of times people say, I just say stuff, you know.
Yes,
just,
that's me usually, yeah.
A lot of people, Jack just rambles and rants. Yep. Jack just says things that he doesn't think it through. There's no thought process. There's no strategy. He just says things that are outrageous.
Yeah, that's what I say.
But I've been saying this whole time, Mako Satomura has been sabotaging McKenzie. She's been sabotaging her development, sabotaging her ability. Now, let me ask you something, Flo. If you've got two of the greatest in NXT UK staring you down, are you going to pick the person who's been sabotaged to be your partner? No.
Wait, Zaya Brookside and Eliza have the best ever?
I mean,
what? Yeah. They've been complaining week in and week out about things.
They're the best ever. Brookside is, she was, look, Mako, look, and by the way, Mako having the audacity to say she's going to teach Brookside something.
Yes. Like
what kind of experience does Mako have that means she would be able to teach Brookside anything when Brookside's been born into pro wrestling?
20 years of experience, 15 over Zaya. That should count for something.
Zaya was born into pro wrestling. I think she's older than 20 years old.
Yes, she is.
Therefore, right. Brookside has more experience than Mako.
I hate Jack Logic, I swear. So help me. Okay, fine. That match seems to be on the horizon there. The NXT women's division is kind of mixing. But side question before we move on.
Yes, so, I think that Brookside will be able to teach Mako something.
No, not at all. I would never ask that question because that's not going to happen. Sarai, though, looks different. Well, it has a different presentation. Do you think the NXT 2.0 visions of her grandma are pretty much over with?
I really, really hope that she did listen. She did listen about that trinket she was wearing and decided, you know, Tiffany Stratton was giving her great advice and said, look, it looks silly. And then so did Xia Brookside. And I like to think that maybe she listened to their advice and said, you know what, this is silly. It is kind of a goofy looking thing that we're wearing. And, you know, I don't want to say they maybe shamed her into getting rid of it, but maybe they did, and it'll work out for the better.
Well, I hope if Nana gets you something, I will call it a trinket to your face.
Well, nice if lady. She gets me a trinket, then maybe we should call it a trinket.
What was the name of that catalog? The Finger Hut? the nine free gifts? Every time you buy something? Like, wow, this is great. A couple of quick hits before we get out of here, NXT UK. It looks like D'Familia is chatting up Oliver Carter because Ashton Smith is at home recuperating from an injury. We didn't get to talk about it last week in detail. Kind of heartbreaking. Speedy recovery there, King. Thank you so much for the shout out. I appreciate you. But it looks like Tiamat and company is trying to recruit one more for the family.
I think that we're going to actually agree on something here, Flobo. And I think it's kind of cool. We don't get to agree very often, but
that's true.
Just how warm, good-hearted, and wholesome were D'Familia today, coming over to Oliver Carter, seeing that his friend is injured, seeing that his friend is out, and saying, look, we're a family here. You can come with us. You don't have to be alone. It doesn't have to be like when you first started. We're here for you. We're not friends. We're family. And, you know, outside of the Olive Garden, there hasn't been a family that's been more welcoming than I think D'Familia.
I bet he makes worse breadsticks. Lamb says, well, Carter and Tiamat has some history back here in Berlin for GWF. Now, if you haven't seen GWF, for me, I've kind of seen a couple of matches on that YouTube channel machine. Talk about hard hitting. Yeesh. I want to see some of that here in UK. But if you're Oliver Carter, knowing your options, your best friend, presumably, is out injured, but a group of three has heckled their way and say, mwah, join us, mwah. Why would I? They were cackling. They were literally cackling. Why would you join the family?
They seem like a great couple guys. They're laughing, having a good time, joking around with each other. Yes, I would join D'Familia. I would join him if I wasn't Oliver Carter. I would join him if my name was Jack Farmer, at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I would join him.
They wouldn't have actually join. Like, what kind of crop do you share? Okay, so before we roll on, Tiger Turan has a bit
of D'Familia. That's the name of the group with me.
Is that a pun? Is that a pun?
Yes. You
better stop. I don't do puns, y'all. You guys.
What was the pun on your birthday?
I tossed it. I don't remember. I can give you today's pun.
Totally
fitting. The proctologist reassured the patient that his condition was rectified.
It is fitting with all the birthdays coming around.
Anyway, Tiger Turan, Kenny Williams. Kenny Williams thinks it's Amir Jordan, but is he correct?
I mean, when are we going to start giving Kenny Williams the credit he deserves for being a hard worker? Everyone always says you got to work past the 9 to 5. And I mean, Sid, he's like, I called you in at 9 o'clock because that's when the workday starts. Kenny, on the other hand, he's like, look, man, I always work. I'm always putting in the time. I'm always putting in the effort. And Kenny Williams calling it out. Tiger Turan, Amir Jordan, you were saying that for a while now. Kenny Williams just verified it. It's verified news. Stamp it. It's done. He's Amir Jordan. Tiger Turan. Look, this match shouldn't happen. Amir Jordan, he's out of here. It was won. Kenny Williams won the right for Amir Jordan to book it to 2.0. The fact that he puts a little mask on, this is Mr. America. Get out of here.
And who was that guy? So that's a question. It wasn't like he did some kind of like hard-hitting journalism. He broke into his boss's office and put the word Amir on the wall. Like, does that count as figuring out?
Look, sometimes you got to bend the law a little bit to get to the information. Sometimes you got to take matters into your own hands. And I know that he wasn't supposed to break into the office, but look what he discovered. Look what he found out. He was looking through that big book of wrestling with Mr. Perfect on it. And yeah. he saw that there was that this was clearly Tiger Turan was clearly Amir Jordan. And Amir Jordan should not be there. So the fact that they're booking the match seems to me to be spitting in the face of Kenny Williams, by the way, and all he's earned and won. It's sickening that this is what's happening, but I hope that Kenny Williams is able to unmask Tiger Turan and prove to the world that he is, in fact, Amir Jordan.
Confirm, Jack Farmer, you're a lot of things, but law abiding is not one of them. we got to move on to NXT 2.0.
I've never even hinted at someone bending the rules.
Speaking of crimes, NXT 2.0, we witnessed a murder. Cameron Grimes destroyed Braun Breaker the microphone this week. What? Great American Bash is next week, and already Cameron Grimes has basically told Braun, this is just a backup plan for you, but this is everything to me.
That promo was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the way that he talked about it, I loved how Braun Breaker said, you've got nothing to lose, and Cameron Grimes just flipped the script on him. It was like, nah, you lose the title, you may end up on SummerSlam, because he's right. That's the truth. And that's mm-hmm. what makes it so fascinating that everything he said was what we were kind of all thinking. And yeah. he delivered it so well. And I'm a big Braun Breaker guy. I think he's the future of pro wrestling. But you're right. It felt like he was trying to hit Cameron Grimes with some big one-liners. And Cameron Grimes just verbal jujitsu'd him and dodged it and used his energy against him and turned it even more offense. And, of course, taking him out with that turnbuckle. Just Cameron Grimes with just a we've wondered where he's going here on 2.0. But to me, he's proven that you can put him across the ring from anybody. I think he could take that title from Braun Breaker.
I actually read that book, not jiu-jitsu, verbal judo. Exactly. He's right.
It's supposed to be judo. I messed up, yeah. but I didn't.
No, but I was like, wait, that was on me. I ruined your bit. Oh, my bad.
As soon as I said jiu-jitsu, I was like, it was judo. I have a verbal Taibo. That's why I can't get it right.
Jack, why are you smiling? It's so much fun. All right, so. Cameron Grimes says, your daddy had no heart. That's why he was ever world champion. Yikes. But is it going to be a thing for as now as Braun Breaker is wrestling that everyone's going to reference his dad? Is it going to be like a Cowboy Bob Orton thing? Or do you think that people are going to wise up and do something else?
I think it's expected at this point. I think that I don't think it'll be forever, but let's face it. It's the elephant in the room. We all know what it is. And you can't have a look and a style and a presence so close to what your dad did without it being mentioned. But also, you know, this may be a little too deep in the weeds, especially for our non-American viewers, but Arch Manning just signed to a college. He's a 5-star recruit. Everyone's already looking at him because his last name is Manning. When you are in sports, if your father is someone who's very successful, there's always going to be that microscope that looks at you and compares you to what your dad did. So yikes. I think it'll be a lot at first, but it'll probably start to dwindle away as he makes his own legacy.
Shout out to Todd Marinovich. So let's talk about the top of the show this week. Briggs and Jensen, the new NXT UK tag team champions, which seems weird having Americans hold that belt, but they feel so cool with it, are out there celebrating where the former tag team champions, yo boys, yes boy, Pretty Deadly, come out. They kind of feel like it's being disrespected having those belts around those good old boys' waist. Let me ask you this, Jack Farmer. The NXT tag team championships are fairly young, but it feels like Pretty Deadly, they like it belongs to them.
They do seem synonymous with those titles. By the way, the greatest moment in all of wrestling history is not when Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. It's not the once in a lifetime. It's none of those things.
Really?
It's Pretty Deadly saying Roll Tide. That, I think, is probably the greatest moment in the history of pro wrestling.
They did it ironically, and it was like, yeah, Roll Tide. Like, no, get upset. We're making fun of you people.
I think it's as an NXT UK fan, a little bit sad that the UK championships were taken from the UK the first day. My question to you is, if they defend those titles on American soil, do they become the world NXT UK championships?
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of like the par for the course, right? You got to defend it elsewhere. And I think the NXT UK championships, I think all of them have been defended outside of UK soil, except for those titles. So I'm down.
Is it a little weird to say the NXT UK world titles?
I mean, it would be, but like a lot of conventions for namings for belts are just weird. You know what I mean? We have a Intercontinental and a United States. We have a All Atlantic.
Those technically mean different things, though.
Yeah, but still, wouldn't the Intercontinental Championship include the United States if the North and South American titles were combined back in Rio de Janeiro in the
world,
70s?
Yeah, but the world title contains the U.S. That's fine. It's just, it's weird if you have the, it's weird if you have the U.S. world title. That's where it gets weird.
Yeah, like the Pan-African diaspora title, the one Trisha Dora has, it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know how you do naming conventions. Let me know in the chat.
In any case, if Pretty Deadly want these titles, they're going to get these titles. I'm a little bummed about it because I think Pretty Deadly, they've shown that they can do this. They've shown that they can be those champions of the UK. They've shown that they can win these and carry them forever. One of the things I was excited about with Pretty Deadly coming to 2.0 is their opportunity to take the tag team titles from other people and to be the NXT 2.0 champions. Now, they've done that as well. But now they can have a chance to solidify themselves as the greatest tag team in the history of NXT 2.0, much like they are the greatest tag team in the history of NXT UK. So if they go back to being the NXT UK champions, I feel like it's a good thing, but it's not a step in a forward direction quite like it would be if they were to try to go back after the Creed brothers.
But what about in the instance of unification? Was my next question. If Pretty Deadly wins that NXT UK Tag Team Championships, they still have unfinished business with the Creeds. Will unification be something you'd be interested in, or that's a little bit too much too soon with the world other titles being unified?
I think there's far too many tag teams in both the brands for me to want to see it unified at this point, especially since they get a lot of TV time. And like the argument would be made about maybe Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if they have enough tag teams getting TV time to warrant the two titles, but I think 2.0 and UK have tag teams that are getting TV time. So I wouldn't like it.
I just hope that it's not the beginning of the end for the best brand in wrestling. That's right. NXT UK.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk about the tag team division on the women's side. Katana Chance and Kaden Carter versus Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez. Winner gets a spot at Great American Bash. And, well, I'm not taking anything away from Pop Rocks, Roxanne Perez, and Cora Jade, but it just seems like Katana Chance and Kaden Carter are always that team that gets close but no cigar. They look frustrated this week. Jack, is this the end of this tag team? Is something changing? What has to happen for them to get on top for real, for real?
They should look frustrated. They should be very frustrated. They are, I believe, one of the longest tenured women's tag teams in the WWE umbrella as far as just start to finish. And I think they're the only one that hasn't been champions. They're the only ones that haven't gotten to the promised land that have been a team together for a long time. So, yeah, they should be frustrated. They should be upset. They should be looking at each other going, what do we need to do? I mean, I can say I'm blue in the face. They're both talented. I can say they've got what it takes, yada, yada, yada. But at some point, you got to say it's not happening. You know, it's a bit like, I don't want to use too many American references, but it's like the Bengals for many years up until recently, where they had, I believe it was Marvin Lewis was their coach. He was their coach forever. And they would always get to the first round of the playoffs and get knocked out year in, year out, over and over and over and over and over again. Eventually, you got to go, look, man, you're great. And you keep us competitive, but if you're not going to win the titles, what are we doing? And I think that's what Katana and Kaden need to look at each other and say, look.
To translate for our British audience, it's like saying Arsenal, right? They try so hard every year, and they get in fourth place or fifth place. But continue.
Okay, so perfect. Yeah, so thank you for translating my English for our
English. English American Dictionary. Coming out to
this. But the point is, like, at some point, if you're not winning the championships, like, are you here just to be competitive, or are you here to win championships?
Good point.
Like, that's the conversation they need to have, and if it's to win champ, if it's to be competitive, great. You're doing that. Have fun, be competitive. If your goal is to win championships, then you need to have that real honest talk with each other and figure out, is this working?
Well, they got clowned backstage. Tim Paxton was not feeling it. So that's always a sign when someone came after you being like, damn, homie, what happened to you?
If you want to be a champion and someone feels confident enough going up to you when you're frustrated and just being like, yeah, you're a joke, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
I look at in the UFC, Ronda Rousey hasn't necessarily won a title in a long time, but if she was backstage at a UFC show, I guarantee you fighters wouldn't be walking up to her going, you're a joke, you Ronda. They would still have a little bit of that. They would still have that respect, right? So I think people are trashing you to your face. Maybe something's not working.
That's like a thing you put in your epitaph. You're a right. joke, Ronda Rousey. We never saw him again.
Final words.
Yeah. Speaking about someone who cares like a joke, Kiana James was telling Indy Hartwell she's a joke, and there was a match to be had. But guess what? Kiana James, which is someone I'm thinking has a bright future, got the dub. Look, stats and figures, very Alexander York, very WCW, but I'm on board. But Indy Hartwell is just spinning her wheels, Eddie.
Kiana James is, I think, great. I think she does have a great future because I think, like many of the really talented wrestlers, she doesn't let emotions dictate what she does. She's not letting her ego drive her. She's not letting her any type of like anger or greed or anything like that drive her. It's all facts and figures. It's all strategy. She took this match. She started this match. She did all this stuff. Because she knew she was going to win. She knew that Indy Hartwell was the exact opposite. Someone who is broken up about losing her family, her boo, as we'll call it. They know that she's been going through the rough patch. She had Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade like basically kick her out of their little friends group. And so that she knew that Indy Hartwell was in a bad spot statistically. She knew that Indy Hartwell wasn't going to be ready for this match. So she picked the fight and she got the win. Kiana James is going to be one of those people that's going to be able to pick her spot, get her wins, and have a very bright future.
Kiana James, I'm not going to give her the franchise tag quite yet, but we're talking about NXT crop of talent that's going to be in production trucks. That's one of them. That's someone you can instantly tell from a mile away who that is, what she looks like on a sign. Always a good sign for that. But moving on, due to other things that are new talent, the rebirth, reborn, the other debut of Giovanni Vinci against Ikemen Jiro. And like they said on NXT 2.0, Ikemen has not won a match since the departure of Kushida. Giovanni Vinci, the photographs, I guess he's more of a fashionista guy, which is fine. Not a fan of that so much as when he wins and has a Vittoria. That's pretty dope. Thoughts about Giovanni Vinci? Now, two matches in, Jack Farmer, do you see a ceiling? Do you see potential? Or is kind of just like, I've seen this before and his name was Fabian.
Two style icons just going at it, right? Two guys who really know fashion, two guys who really know how to dress things up. Giovanni Vinci, I know he's a great, like his in-ring work is great. I love that spirit bomb he's doing now that no one else is doing that here in NXT. Now he's able to do it. The thing here is, though, not only is Giovanni Vinci undefeated, but, you know, he clearly coming from across the pond originally himself, he says, you know, we talk about America going over to the UK to cause some damage. He says, Great American Bash can't happen without him. Makes me wonder what he's got up his sleeve. A guy that stylish has always got a plan on his mind. I wonder what it'll be.
Dylan Matthews says, unfortunately, Jack would understand Giovanni Vinci a lot.
You phrased that poorly because he did not say unfortunately. You added that editorial spin, Flo.
You added
that editorial spin of unfortunately. This is journalism.
I'll apply for the Pulitzer next year.
But Giovanni this year. And I, by the way, get along. We understand the same thing. We're on the same wavelength.
Wait, he picks up your calls? I'm jealous. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Let's talk about alliances that I'm not a big fan of. Joe Gacy and the Dyad, because frankly, how can I root or boo somebody without a face? And that's masks are included, though. Against Roderick Strong and the Creed, six-man tag team action. A lot of things happening here. Joe Gacy and the Dyad seem to be stronger than ever before. Diamond Mine seems to be breaking at the seams. Jack, let me ask you this. this guy, Damon Kemp, comes in a very turbulent time for Diamond Mine. So much so, Joe Gacy gets a win with something he hasn't done in weeks.
This match is yet another example of the Creed brothers thinking they know better than Roderick Strong. Thinking they know better than what their leader does. Now, week in and week out, Roderick Strong is questioned. They argue with him. They disagree with him. But he always proves himself to be correct. Okay. And he when he tries to help, they win. When they ignore him, they lose. And then when they like, hey, let's test you. Have this tag team match. Guess what? He won. He won that one. Because he's the leader of Diamond Mine. Yeah, here they are. He tags in because he knows he's a strategic person. He understands this is how we win. I'm going to get in there. Keep, you know, first rule tag team, fast tags, tag often, keep it moving. Roderick Strong, former tag champ, understands this, tags in, and suddenly Julius gets all butthurt about it, and they lose the match because he can't focus, because he's mad that Roderick Strong did the right thing and tagged himself in. They deserve to lose this match. They deserve to lose because they didn't listen to Roderick Strong.
Wow. Talk about spin. Okay. Well, you could argue that they weren't a unit for weeks going into this one. This is only a matter of time. But Joe Gacy on the other side and the Dyad are pretty much undefeated since becoming a unit. Now, I have concerns about the Dyad because I don't know what they stand for. I don't know what they're about. But if they got the win against a formidable team like Diamond Mine, shouldn't they be in the conversation for the tag team championships?
They absolutely should be in the conversation for the tag team championship.
I was not thinking you're going to agree with that. Yikes.
Absolutely.
I did not think you're going to agree with that. That's great.
They beat the tag team champions. Now, it's because they didn't listen to Roderick Strong. It's because they messed up, but a win is a win. Now, I don't I don't know how they're able to wrestle with those with their pajamas and a mask on, but they're able to do it. And they found a way to get a win. Joe Gacy. You know what the difference between these two teams were on the show? You know, the real difference and why the Dyad was able to win. I'm going to say it right now, and I don't like to pick favorites. The Dyad's not as good of a team as Diamond Mine. They really aren't. But they were able to get the win. Why? Because they listened to their leader. They listened to Joe Gacy. That was the difference here. The Dyad said, Joe Gacy, what do we need to do? And Joe Gacy told them, they said, we trust you. We believe in you. We feel safe with you. We're going to do what you say. The Creed brothers, every measurable, better, better, better. If you put the tail of the tape up, the Creed brothers by a mile. The difference, they did not listen to their leader. They did not listen to Roderick Strong. That cost them the match. I put it squarely on the shoulders of Julius Creed.
Speaking of not listening to your leader, Two Dimes, we hardly knew ye. He was sleeping with the fishes, Jack, which I thought sleeping with the fishes only happened in movies and TV shows. But the real life familia of Tony D'Angelo has to get rid of dead weight. Coming for the seat of the Don of NXT, what makes you this?
Yeah, where do you think movies get it from, Flobo? It happens in real life for Tony D'Angelo every day. People sleep with the fishes. By the way, how heavy was that watch they threw into the water? Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I like what ocean is there in Orlando? Is that a river? I had no idea.
He threw this little watch and it was like kersplash when
it yeah. It was like weighted.
But in any case, I think that you when you mess with Tony D'Angelo, you sleep with the fishes. It's not just a phrase. It's not just, you know, some wrestlers they have what we call catchphrases. Tony D'Angelo doesn't have any of those. He just tells you how it is. But that also shows just how bold Santos Escobar is to know that that could be waiting for him, but to still defy the family. It's rather impressive.
Really? I mean, Santos Escobar has every right.
Or it's not foolish.
But look, granted, they had a wager. They lost a match. I'm not saying he didn't lose that match fair and square. Not saying he's part of the family and all that. But if you get involved in a job, you're berated by someone constantly. Why don't you say, you know what? I'm going to get the heck out of here.
He agreed to be part of the family. I'm a big believer. When you agree to do something, you do it. And you follow through and you do everything you're supposed to do. Santos Escobar didn't do it. Didn't follow through. I don't know.
Talk about a match without follow through. The returning Nikita Lyons back from her leg injury. I think it was a sprained MCL and a match against Mandy Rose because, you know, Nikita Lyons, like, you know what? If I didn't get injured, it could have been me, baby. This match was a no contest. Disqualification, Nikita Lyons gets the win by DQ, but Mandy Rose has to be thinking there's even more people out to get her in her championship.
Just another example of how NXT is trying to stack the deck against Mandy Rose. How ridiculous was this matchup? Why did this happen?
It was great. Like, I liked it.
Could you imagine people just walk up like, hey, if I didn't lose, I would have won.
Right.
Great logic.
Which if was injured.
I mean, imagine you have the Royal Rumble, right? You have the Royal Rumble, and yes, so they get like they're like the fourth person eliminated, and they just go up to Roman Reigns like, hey, if I wasn't eliminated, I would have won.
She didn't
Can I have a championship match with you tomorrow?
She didn't tonight? Lose. She didn't lose.
Do that stuff.
Nikita didn't lose.
If you withdraw, you lose. That you don't. It doesn't count as a win.
And then Mandy Rose should have been like, no, but she said, okay.
You're right. She is a fighting champion.
I did not say
that we should start holding up with higher regard for being the kind of champion that kids can look up to.
Oh my
because
God.
She said, look, you know, I'm sure she's saying, listen, you don't qualify. You didn't earn this. But you know who else became a big deal because of an opportunity that was given to him? Rocky. You could be the next Rocky, kid, but just like Rocky, didn't get the job done the first go round, did you, Nikita Lyons? Spoiler alert.
Well, I'm rooting for Nikita because Mandy Rose is a meanie.
And by the way, you notice in this match, unlike Indy Hartwell, unlike Cora Jade, and unlike Roxanne Perez and all these other folks out there that we act like they're all good people who are always alone. You notice in Toxic Attraction, they're all friends. They help each other out. They lift each other up when they're down. I thought this was a very heartwarming moment with Toxic Attraction.
They lift each other up, but I don't think it's heartwarming at all. Like, they are just totally prickly individuals.
Your heart of ice that only hates Flobo.
I mean, that's also true. But, you know, it's my birthday week between birthday and Independence Day. Let's speak of people I hate. Not really. I don't really hate them. But the inverse franchise tag, the reverse franchise tag is going to Zion Quinn because he was in a match against Sanga. And Sanga, with brand new ring attire, sweet, wins a match. But backstage, Zion Quinn is still picking fights, still calling out people against a man who can see the future now, Apollo Crews. What do you make of this, Zach?
I saw someone on Twitter say that someone switched Sanga's Braun Strowman gear for some Goldberg gear.
Yeah, that's how you win, baby.
Sanga looking strong. He just basically beat Zion Quinn up. I don't think Zion Quinn got much in on this one. I think the takeaway of Zion Quinn this week is that he's not going to let adverse situations beat him down. And he's not going to let a few bumps in the road stop him. Everyone always says that the path to success isn't a straight one. And sometimes, you know, you got to appreciate the sour to enjoy the sweet. And I think that that's a lesson we can learn from Zion Quinn, that no matter how hard it gets, he still believes in himself.
Okay. But he has a match in brewing with Apollo Crews, right? Why would you do that after getting so handily defeated this week?
I don't think the defeat is something he should worry about. I don't think Apollo Crews necessarily is something that he should worry about. But what he should worry about is that Apollo Crews says his future doesn't look good. And as we know, Apollo Crews being a multiverse variant of Kushida who understands the future.
Oh, no.
If he's saying the future doesn't look good, you should probably listen to that because
he knows. In what universe is Kushida and Apollo Crews variants of each other?
In this one, in the NXT 2.0 universe.
This, will you stop? There's no
Once
way.
There was the schism from NXT 1.0 to 2.0, it shattered the multiverse, and Kushida went to the other. He went to the other universe, and we got the variant Apollo. And that's what's happening. I think it's clearly what's happening.
So it was the wedding, because the wedding was announced in 1.0, but it was in the first episode 2.0, and that basically broke everything.
That's the moment. I wonder if we'll get a super group of the Kushida variant, the Apollo variant, and the Otis variant, which is like the third variant we haven't gotten to yet. Or maybe They'll team up with the super group, Ezekiel, Elias, and Elrod, who are also variants. They're going to all come together to battle the wedding.
Elrod's not real. I'll believe it not when I see it. Okay. Great American Bash is next Tuesday. Jack Farm, I'm going to go through a little bit of predictions. You down?
Let's do this.
All right, the NXT UK Tag Team Championships are on the line as a former champs Pretty Deadly take on those American rapscallions, Breeze and Jensen.
I think America will not be defeated on its birthday. You got to go Briggs and Jensen.
Your homeboy Zion Quinn is taking on the variant Apollo Crews in a singles match. You have Zion Quinn, do you have Apollo in this one?
Apollo wouldn't get into this match if he hadn't already seen that he wins it.
Well, my favorite, Wendy Chu, is going to have herself a matchup with the Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany doesn't like Wendy Chu all that much, so she's going to put her to sleep. Does she do it next Tuesday?
I think Tiffany Stratton wins because I think all Wendy Chu does is have these, you know, all the negativity is happening because Wendy Chu is building up this little story in her head. Right. And hopefully Tiffany Stratton is going to put an end to that.
How?
I don't know, beating her up. I don't know.
Oh no!
Stop having nightmares about me.
The NXT Tag Team Championships are also on the line. The men's side is Diamond Mine, Roderick Strong, and Damon Kemp take on the Creed Brothers. Can you believe that one?
I can, and I think this is where the coach shows the Creed Brothers one more time why he's the coach, and that is Roderick Strong, Damon Kemp, two guys. By the way, Damon Kemp, all trained up from the UK, doing everything his boss says. These guys are going to win. The Creed Brothers, they're going to continue to fall until they listen to Roderick.
This one here is almost like an all-star futures game. Trick Williams versus Wesley. Will we see whoop that trick or will Wesley prevail?
I think that Wesley's going to win here because Wesley's got a he's got a focus. He's focusing on Trick right now where I think Trick right now, he's such a good friend to Carmelo. He's thinking about Wesley, but he's also thinking about Carmelo. I think his attention's divided, and Wesley's going to be able to take advantage of that.
The North American title's on the line because of one signature too many. Carmelo Hayes, the A champion against the Grayson Waller effect.
Here on this show, we don't pick against Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes, I think, by the way, is going to be one of the greatest promo guys of a generation when all is said and done.
Ooh, that's high praise from Jack Farmer. You're a promo
guy too. I think not great. Maybe greatest isn't the right word. I think he's going to be the most influential. I think in 5 to 10 years, you're going to see his style being copied by many, many people.
The third of three tag team matches are on the line. Toxic Attraction takes on Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez.
Toxic Attraction, they are on a different level than everyone else. And once we find out, once we realize that Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, they're probably not even that good of friends. I think they're jealous of each other. I don't think Cora Jade likes the idea that Roxanne Perez is also the breakout champion. Probably eating at her with Toxic Attraction. They're friends. They support each other. They love each other. And they would never let something like that happen. I have a feeling that this is going to be the end of Cora and Roxanne.
Finally, the NXT Championship is on the line. The man that's perceived to have a silver spoon against the man who's self-made. Cameron Grimes, Bron Breakker.
Cameron Grimes struck it big with a few investments back in the day, and now he's about to do it again. I think he made a good point. He has to win this match. For Braun, it'd be nice, but Cameron needs to win. I think the words of Cameron Grimes are going to be resonating in Bron Breakker's head. I think he's going to be dreaming of SummerSlam during this match, and that might be what cost him, not to mention that arm, all busted up, while Cameron Grimes is 100%. So
I don't see it. I think Bron walks away with this one. Personally, the rest I can go either way on, but Bron has to walk away with the win. You can't be dressed down like that and then lose. Yikes.
Strong words. The rest you can go either way on.
Yeah.
Sounds good. No. Cameron Grimes is going to
I just walked the line, baby. That's the tech farmer.
Cameron Grimes, again, one of these guys that really, really has found a way to find success in everything he does. There was a time we didn't think he'd be the $1 million champion, but he was. There was a time that we thought he was going to be just some grimy backwoods poor guy his whole life, yet he made millions.
Millions.
He's someone that's going to find a way to get success, even in the places most people don't think he's going to be able to. And I think he does it again here at Bash at the Beach, or Great American Bash.
It's Slamboree. Spring Stampede. Middle of July.
They're all I can't remember which ones which in what order there. Uncensored.
I always like advocate for Slamboree, but I couldn't tell you what makes a Slamboree a Slamboree. I'm like, bring back Slamboree. Why? Oh.
That's cool.
Jack, you know that's half my favorite part of the show. It's half of the MVP of NXT. Who you got this week?
This one is easy. It's Trent Seven. Like I said, he has reinvented British sports for everyone over in the UK with his move. Dressed amazing and really showed that he's more than just a professional wrestler, more than just a sports entertainer. He has proven that he is a top tier super athlete. And I think that he has put himself possibly at number one in all of WWE.
Trent Seven came out and kicked somebody in the nuts.
Number one in all of WWE.
But he didn't do anything.
He didn't just kick someone in the nuts last week or 2 weeks ago. He also uppercutted someone in the nuts in probably the greatest moment in professional wrestling history.
I withdraw my statement then. Okay. Well, I'm picking Wolfgang, dang it. I'm picking Wolfgang. Here's some of that through that injury that's basically been nagging him for the past year and a half to come out with a dub. Gets very game, Shawn Samuels. So I got to go with Wolfgang for my MVP this week. But who cares what I think? Jack likes people with violence in nether regions. That's the big story.
Violence in nether regions is actually the name of my band's next album.
You hit a rock? it's about that time you guys to get out of here because, you know, we got things to do like catch flights and head over to the American Announce Table at the BET Sport Arena. Not really. Jack Farmer, if someone wanted to contact you, connect with you online, how they go about doing that?
Well, you can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, but you did mention that American Announce Table. You know you can get an American Announce Table shirt now, right?
Oh, you can.
You can't, especially just in time for America's birthday. The best way to represent America, I think the most American thing you can do is go buy one of these American Announce Table shirts and wear it whenever it arrives. I don't think it'll get there in time, but why not give it a try?
Yeah, that's bit.ly, bit.ly/draped in gold. The American Announce Team, second version of it's up there now. Make sure you get yourself a copy of that. Yeah, I don't know why I sung towards the end. That was kind of weird. Anyway, Flobo Boys, drapedingold.com. You can follow me at Flobo Boys on Twitter and at Flobito on that Instagram. I'll be here next week talking about the Great American Bash Fallout and more. But until that time, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.